as easy as the touch of a button. The Message of Life on 657 AM.
That's Prince Peterson with Our God is Everywhere on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, and bring brothers to exactly 22 minutes to 7. Good evening, Bagita, and welcome to it. This is Thursday Live with Gutfumavin. Of course, we are together until 8 o'clock this evening. How is everything in your life so far? I hope that everything is going okay. And sometimes things don't go according to the way we want or plan them, but we just have to trust our Heavenly Father that He will make every little thing in our lives to work for our own good. I think that's the way to go, to avoid unnecessary stress and stresses and depression and what have you. So just learn to trust in Him. That is if you have let Him know in prayer, of course. If He knows everything, you've told Him everything that bothers you, that gives you sleepless nights, by all means, be rest assured that He will take care of every little thing. I don't know, but my experience with me so far is like every time I speak with Him, the thing that bothers me, that troubles me, is like they're a weight. They're like a weight that, you know, He immediately lifts off. He takes off my shoulder. And after I've spoken with Him about whatever that is troubling me, stressing me, worrying me, I feel somehow relieved. I feel like, yeah, something has been lifted off me. So I pray that will take care and remove every little thing that is making your life miserable. Well, it's 20 minutes to 8 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We're having the day earlier summer that this time around is not in our beautiful newly renovated studios, but he is on the line at the comfort of his home down there in Kempton. And the day earlier, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Tate Moabi. And good evening to the listeners. It's always an honor to be here.
Good to be speaking with you once again, and I'm sure that our listeners are always looking forward to hearing from you. The things that you speak, the things that come out of your mouth, I believe that they really change their lives for the better. So tonight we'll be throwing the lines open. If you'd like to talk to him, interrupt him, by all means feel free to do so. I'll give you different channels for you to be able to do that, to interrupt him. The first one is you can call on 012-334-1322, and WhatsApp number is 082-657-2729, and alternatively the SMS number is 37871. Make all these text messages short and to the point, and if at all you are recording or sending us your voice note, make sure please that your radio is off the moment you are doing that. And of course, if you are driving, make sure again that you close the windows, because these are some of the things that can interfere with your recordings, and we end up not hearing you as you are sharing with us that valuable information that you are intending to share with us this evening. And let's start off with the testimonies. How busy was your week so far?
Last week, immediately after we spoke, there's a listener here who was listening, Kintate Moruti, is the pastor. He testified privately.
Was it after we spoke to the lady from KZN?
Yes.
Okay.
That is what actually provoked him to speak, or prompted him to speak, rather. He spoke to us to also give a testimony that we did help him to transfer the property into his name for free.
And how long ago did this happen?
That is about 2 years back.
All right. Do you remember?
So that's one thing. I think because I would like him to at least put it in writing so that I can be able to send that testimony or thank you letter to the conveyancer who that for us.
Okay. But you remember the case clearly?
If I remember the case, I remember the deadline.
What was happening?
Well, obviously he didn't have funds to transfer the property into his name. As you know, that when you transfer the property, is not free. We spoke to our associate, who is the conveyancer, my partner that you know, my partner in crime, and then she did the transfer for free.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. Yes. And what else?
Well, there's a lady who has been bothered by death. She's not a young lady, quite fairly an elderly lady who works for the retail store. She's earning in the region of 5,000 rand. So she had some, like, three or four loans, and she consolidated the loan. So they gave her the consolidation loan, but now the consolidation loan is equivalent, the base loan is equivalent to their salary, more or less. She's earning 5,000 rand. They are taking like 4.3 as an installment.
Yeah.
And she still has to buy the electricity, pay for water, the child's school transport, her transport to work, food and everything from the 700 rand that is left.
Yeah, that must be a very stressful situation there.
She tried to speak to the bank, the consultant at the bank, hey man, look what they have done. How can you take my full salary? They said, we're going to restructure this after 2 months. You have to pay for 2 months. After 2 months, we will restructure it to a lesser and affordable amount, of which they never did for a very long time now. And she's really, really struggling. And then she came to us. We said, okay, go and get us the assessment documents, you know, the credit assessment documents, get the copy of the credit agreement. Your payslip and everything that you gave to them when they assessed and granted the loan. And obviously, there is a credit report and the payslip, so they refused to send her the assessment report because we wanted to see what they used to make her to qualify for such a big amount. And normally what happens in that mob is that they will say, you have got the rooms that you have rented out that give you extra cash. Or they will say, you are saying something. Even though you are not saying anything, they will say you are saying
it sounds like they are in violation of consumer, what's that?
NCA.
NCA, yes.
That's a straightforward record of lending.
Yeah.
So now, you could hear that she can have an attack. Because, how to survive like that? So we said, do what they do to you. Pay them what they can afford. If you can afford 100 rand, pay them 100 grand instead of the 4,000 something.
Yeah.
So that they can be able to call you to pay the rest, and then you say, let's meet in court. And then you're going to raise an allegation of reckless lending, and they have to bring those documents that you requested because they are refusing to give them to her now. So what's going to happen, there's no lawyer who's going to take that case to court.
Because they know that they've already lost.
Yeah. So my take is that it will write off the amount.
Yeah. Can I say how much?
They gave you a loan of 130 plus cost. It's about 140 something dollars.
Are you serious?
Yes.
For somebody who's earning such an amount of money?
5,000, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it must be written off. It must be written off. I think Jubilee is coming her way sooner than later.
Yeah, I said,
sooner or later, yes.
Tell them to take it to court and then I'll be beside you.
Okay, that's good. That's good. 13 minutes to 8 to 7 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We are still with Ndate Elias Samatla. So feel free to give him a call. But if at all you want to, share maybe your experience not so good with the company that, is giving you the runarounds, please don't mention their names or whoever it might be that might have, treated you otherwise. Make sure that you, yes, much as you would like to be anonymous yourself, remember they too need to, you know, have their, you know, identities protected, because you can't talk about them and them not being able to, you know, share with us their side of the stories, because like they always say, there's always two sides of the story. So it will be unfair on our side to let you talk about them without them, you know, answering to the allegations that you are leveling against them. That's the reason why we don't allow you to talk about their names, unless if they allow, I mean, they accepted to come and, you know, clear their names. So that's the only time that that can be acceptable. How about our letter? 012-334-1322. 012-334-1322. 082-657-2729. Have you been hard done by any of the organizations, institutions, or you're just full of thanksgiving and praise and you'd like to share with us about some of the things that Natasha Matla has helped you with? Because we don't want to deviate from what this program is all about. It's about you and helping you as the consumer. Like we had a wonderful time last week when we got a call from somebody in the KZN province. Yeah, that was a powerful, powerful testimony there of how she was helped by Ndate Elias Amata. Perhaps you want to join in and say, you know, I've been holding this back for a long time now. I think it's about time that I share it with everybody out there. And of course, you are still welcome to remain anonymous. Don't just keep that to yourself. And I'm glad that that man came out to say, Ndate Samata, thank you for what you have done. It's 11 to 7 on Radio Pulpit. Ndate.
Yes, sir. Yesterday we received an apology letter on behalf of the client from the medical aid. Remember last week we gave a testimony that we went to sit in at the offices of the medical aid to pay out the claim.
Yeah.
So they paid and they sent a long apology letter. Apologizing to their member who is our client. But what is very interesting is what they say here in the apology. This is the manager now.
Yeah.
I want to take this time to apologize profusely to our member for the inconvenience this has caused. I acknowledge that as a company, we would have done better to avoid the case getting to a frustrating point it reached, and regret the way we handled this query from the onset when it was submitted to us for processing. This is the manager. I also commit that our team will ensure that we revisit our processes and way of doing things. The team will work on improving our communication with our members and be proactive to avoid a similar experience to any of our available members and providers. Now, this is going to make you fall away. We will also look into regular training and coaching our staff that handle claims and those who are client facing, while focusing on bettering our current system to ensure efficiency and better customer experience. Right? So now, this implies that their staff is not adequately trained. The issues that we are addressing with them were taken at heart, and we are very thankful that they are taking this very seriously. As a result of this complaint that we lodged with them, they managed to identify their pitfalls and shortfalls.
Maybe take us back to what actually transpired there, because somebody might be saying that's a matter of
our client, who is the member of the medical aid scheme, had a child who was ill. The child was admitted in a private hospital in Pretoria. The cost that the hospital charged was over half a million, 500 and something thousand. Let's say 550,000 rand. Right? As you know, the hospital will submit, because the client underwent the procedure, the operation. So the hospital, through their different departments, you know, there will be a pathology department and whatever department, they will submit their claims. So they will be paid gradually as they are submitted. But last year, January, February, the hospital stopped paying the claims from February last year, 2022, until now. So the hospital was making follow-ups to the medical aid for payment. And the medical aid was giving the hospital the runaround to say, yeah, the codes are wrong. Remember when the medical professional submits a claim to the medical aid, there are codes that they use. Like there's a code for an injection, there's a code for this, there's a code for that. You know? So the hospital was saying, the medical aid was saying those codes were wrong. They must be corrected. So the hospital rectified the code and resubmitted. But still, the medical aid didn't pay. At some point, the medical aid said, we are going to pay next week. So they were not paying. So the hospital decided to hand over the client, which is the member of the medical aid, to the lawyer for that collection. Because they said, we are now hurtful with the medical aid. We want our money. So it's your medical aid. They are giving us a runaround. So he tried to sort it out with the medical aid. He was not winning. He was not getting anywhere with the medical aid. Right. So out of desperation, he came to us. Then we wrote an email to the medical aid. They didn't respond. So typical us, we got into the car, we drove to the medical aid. We went to their premises. They tried to lock us out of the gate to say they're working from home, whereas they were working inside the building. They were there. So we refused to back off. We got inside the building. We found them. We got the manager. And then we said, we are doing what is called a sit-in. We're not going anywhere before they pay the claim. We waited there for 3 hours until they paid the claim. So they processed the claim. And then we said to them, they must send an apology letter to the client. Because he didn't owe them anything. Now he was going to be, he nearly lost his job because he's the regional sales manager in the company, one of the international companies. So if he gets blacklisted, he can't be trusted for the work that he does. So it's a risk to the company. So he nearly lost his job because of the incompetency of the medical aid. So eventually medical aid paid that claim and then they sent this long apology letter. And they're saying they're now going to rectify their mistakes. They're going to retrain their staff, coach them to this and that and that. I don't know how that was because they admitted in front of us that they've got 90,000 claims in that block.
Mm. So it shows that they are shifting blames now to their staff members. They don't want to take responsibilities of their
I
own
said doing. To them, yes, I said to them, there are a lot of a radio pulpit listeners and their children who are looking for jobs.
Mm.
If they want to increase the capacity, they must tell me. I'm going to come and announce on radio pulpit that this medical aid in Houghton, Johannesburg needs so many employees.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And what did your client say?
No, he said, wow, David called me mister in the letter.
Okay.
You know, he said, you know what, I don't know what to say. I'm very happy for what has happened, for what you have done for us as a family.
Yeah.
Because he said, I had given up that he would ever pay.
Yeah. Maybe the issue here, what do you call their reserves? Maybe they don't have enough cash in their reserves. So that's some of the questions, the problems that medical aid companies experience and all that. That's why many of them are losing members and many of them are merging with other medical aid schemes and all that. So, yeah. So maybe it could be one of the reasons. Because how can you not pay people when they're contributing and when you have money in your coffers and all that? I think that could be one of the reasons. I'm not saying it's like that, but hey, people need to be very careful, especially companies, to do a background check on the medical aid companies that they are working with. Because if bad stories, bad report about them, yeah, make sure, but there's no smoke without a fire sometimes.
You know what does that mean?
Hmm.
It means that any medical practitioner who is listening to this show now understands that there is a problem, because those 90,000 claims are the monies belonging to the doctors. So your doctor is not getting paid. Your doctor cannot pay rent, he cannot pay his staff, because medical aid is not paying him. So that's why your doctor now is going to tell you, I'm not accepting any medical aid, you must come to me with cash.
Remember, I asked them to interrupt you. So yeah. Here is one listener, I almost mentioned her name without her approval. What did the long interrupt? Let's just listen in to what she says, okay? Listen in, please.
Good evening, Mr. Mwabi and Mr. Shwamatla.
Good evening, ma'am.
I'm calling on behalf of my niece who bought a house cash for 1.6
million.
And the lawyers who were doing the transfer processes and all that, she said she'll put the money in a fixed deposit so that it can have some returns. But now, after the transfer processes were done and all the title deed came, and she said my niece failed to give them the documents they needed, so that is why they didn't put the money into a fixed account. So I just want to find out what could have happened, and what steps should my niece take to
before you go, I'm trying to understand.
To ensure that what they are saying is true.
That doesn't matter, remember it's a voice note. It's a voice note.
I actually don't know what question to ask, but I think you heard the gist of the matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
On the radio. Thank you, bye.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's a voice note. Can you please respond quickly to it?
Okay. I'm not sure I understood too well on the part of the investing of the money. All right. What needs to happen is that when you buy the property cash, the buyer pays the money, that 1.6 million rent, into the trust account of the attorney. The attorney is going to keep the money in the interest-bearing account. So it must generate interest. That is the fixed deposit that she's talking about. So when the transfer takes place after 3 months, then the attorney will settle that 1.6 million debt, obviously take his fees and stuff like that. And the surplus, which will be the interest, belongs to the client, which is the buyer. So in this case, it sounds like the attorney says he didn't put the money into the fixed deposit account because the buyer, which is the niece, didn't provide certain documentation. So I wonder what documentation is it?
Mm.
What difference does it make?
So, but the question is, what could have happened to the money?
Yes, because the money must be kept. Mm. In the interest bearing account to accumulate interest.
Whether they have documents or not.
Exactly. So the attorney must prove and must provide a statement of account. Since the money was deposited into that particular account, how much interest has been generated until it was taken out? So that's what needs to happen. That's the advice that I would give. The attorney must give the statement, must provide the statement of account.
All right.
Because
then.
If it's because they are not allowed to keep the money into a, like a dormant account, which is not accumulating interest.
All right. Dade, we're going to have to leave it right there because of time. Thank you very much. And I've just received another voice note. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend to it right now, but hopefully we'll be able to attend to it come next week. And that Shamatla, please give them your contact details. If she needs to have, I mean, if she has a follow-up question, she can be able to directly contact you or send you a note on your WhatsApp number, right?
And voice note or messages must please state their names and where they are from.
Okay.
To 067-226-5934.
067-226-5934.
Yes, the reason being, remember, on the laptop, when the WhatsApps come in, because we don't use the phone, you use the whole laptop, when they come into. So now, if it's the numbers only, it's difficult to know who are we talking to, whether I've responded to this or not. But
absolutely.
If you put your name, I can be able to save your number on your name, then I know, oh, I've already spoken to Mrs. So-and-so, or this is a follow-up question. We can be able to engage, yes.
Dade, thank you very much. And, of course, please don't go anywhere, because I want to... I want us to listen to this voice note together. Perhaps you can be able to respond to it next week. That's Ndate Elias Shamatla on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. 067-226-5934.
Become active. Active in faith. 657 AM.